Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us. This is the GenSource Potash Corporation quarterly conference call. I'd like to welcome you to the call. On the line with us, we have from GenSource, Rob Thoret, our CFO, Deb Morsky, our VP Corporate Services, and Paul Neufeld, our project manager. Also like to introduce the directors for the company. Besides myself, there's Cal Redlich, currently living in London, England, Paul Martin from Regina, and Mike Mueller from Toronto. Those are your directors and management of GenSource. So we'd like to go to a fairly typical setup for the call today. We'll talk about a summary of activities, current activities. We'll move on to a discussion of next steps, and then we'll talk about financing and financial items towards the end of the call. Throughout the call, we will try to address questions that we've received. We received quite a number of questions emailed into the office, and we'll address them as we go. Hopefully, we can satisfactorily cover all of those items. So with that, we'll jump right in. First item here is the summary of current activities. First thing we'd like to do before we jump in is to address one of the major questions that we've received by email and through phone calls and discussing status with our current shareholders. And that boils down to why the secrecy? That question is driven from the fact that we have not named any of our equity partners, the off-taker, nor the senior lending group for the project. And that's true. And it does seem like a secrecy sort of a situation. We have to emphasize that this is the industry we're in. This is the MOP, which is the muriate of potash, the potash industry. This is how it has always worked. GenSource's fundamental business plan, as all of our shareholders are well aware, is to begin the process of trying to change how the industry is structured on the production or the supply side. But for the current time, we are in an industry that operates this way. Our off-taker wishes currently not to be named. The banking group also currently wishes not to be named. Those two items will be rectified in the coming weeks. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But from where we stand today, that's simply the handcuffs that we have. And we need to be respectful with our partners in this regard. We'll talk a little further too about the meetings we had at the IFA, that's the International Fertilizer Association meeting in Montreal last week. We had a large number of meetings with a very diverse group of players in the fertilizer industry in general. And we've received tremendous interest in what we're doing, how we're trying to set up an offtake and supply chain. So what we've learned is that it's not just us, it's many other players in the industry who are and will welcome a change to how the industry works. So that's the context around why the secrecy. Next item, we'd like to address the Vanguard 1 project. So I'd like to state clearly the Vanguard 1 offtaker remains in place and the project remains active. However, contrary to what many believe, we have clearly identified that in financing potash projects today, a strong offtake agreement, even one with an A-rated offtaker, is simply not sufficient for financing a project. This is due to the highly controlled nature of the industry and the associated lack of true price discovery within the industry, specifically potash. Not fertilizers in general, but specific to the potash side of it. The lack of true price discovery to the public and to the financial institutions themselves. Therefore, in addition to a strong offtake agreement, international commercial banks need to see some form of off-taker, quote-unquote, skin in the game. From our discussions, this can take a number of forms. It can be a straight cash equity investment into the project itself. It can be an underwriting or of a guaranteed minimum price for the project that shifts some risk over to the off-taker. Or it could be providing sufficient guarantees or a balance sheet coverage to back a portion of the senior loan. Those sorts of things the financial institutions have communicated are what they really need to see in terms of solidifying the off-taker's role in this project. So to reiterate, there are no issues with our Vanguard One offtake partner. However, they are a traditional global agriculture company. They do not wish to be perceived as entering the mining industry. Their intention remains to be directly involved with the project and linked to the Vanguard One project under the strong offtake agreement that we have in place. The challenge for us and for the Vanguard One project is to arrive at a senior debt level within the capital structure that makes sense for our shareholders. So we continue to work with the Vanguard One offtaker and the senior lenders involved to find the best solutions to these immediate items. Next, we'd like to address the Maverick project. The items I just spoke about have been addressed proactively on our second go-around with the many prospective off-takers that we've been speaking with over the last several months. Having done that in a proactive manner, we've arrived at a situation where the Maverick project represents a more financeable situation. In the news release of May 22nd, we announced the creation of a second project. We called it Maverick. We called it a completely different name to hopefully avoid any confusion and allow us to differentiate between the two projects. The project itself is exactly the same. It's a 250,000 ton per year selective solution mine with no tailings, no salt piles, no brine ponds. Exactly the same project. The Maverick project will be owned and executed jointly between GenSource, Maverick's offtaker, and a third independent equity partner. There will be an independent joint venture that's put together, which is owned by those three partners. As we stand here today, the Maverick offtaker has first off, provided an MOU for offtake for the full tonnage of one of GenSource's modules. That's 250,000 tons per year. It has provided a commitment for a cash investment into the joint venture company to obtain a 25% interest in that company. So that represents 25% of the required equity as part of the project finance. This, of course, as I mentioned with regard to the Vanguard One project, this is a very key point that the senior lenders look for. Thirdly, the off-takers also introduced all parties of the joint venture to senior lending groups with whom the off-taker has a working relationship. So a warm introduction speeds the process along. We've also disclosed that we have an additional third-party investor, whom I mentioned, who has provided also an MOU for a cash investment of up to $30 million into the joint venture company. Depending on the exact number of equity, the dollar value of equity required, that's going to represent somewhere in the range of 30% plus of the joint venture. This investor has deep project execution and management experience, and we welcome his involvement from a business management perspective, he will bring a lot to the table. In the next weeks, we've been advised that we will be able to disclose the identity of Maverick's offtaker and the senior lending group. Both parties want the financing to progress a little further down the road before they're ready to take that risk. And again, within the context, as I discussed a little earlier, of the question, why all the secrecy, groups working within the industry see it as a risk to have their name out there in public. But we are making progress on that front, and in the next weeks, we hope to be able to advise our shareholders of who these groups are. So those are, that's the current activities. We're working on Maverick and Vanguard One at the same time. Maverick is certainly the leading effort, with financing discussions going on at a much more detailed level. Next steps, and even current steps, the work that's going on right now as well, and off into the future. We are bringing the equity group together into a joint venture company or partnership. The final legal structure of that has not yet been defined. We're simply calling it a joint venture. But, so we have a shareholder agreement out for negotiation amongst the three partners. We're hoping to complete that shareholder agreement negotiation and therefore joint venture organization over the summertime. Second item is a definitive offtake agreement. That will be between the Maverick offtaker and the joint venture, the Maverick joint venture. The offtake agreement will be a detailed definitive agreement for the purchase of 100% of the production from the Maverick project, initially 250,000 tons per year. The terms of the agreement will include full taker pay provisions and market price formula provisions as well. The Maverick project is also currently entering the senior lender's due diligence process, which conforms to structured project financing under OECD regulations for high-income countries. The due diligence process involves significant effort and expense for outside services, which necessarily includes things like independent engineering reports from a group appointed by the banking, the senior lender group, which reviews all engineering in the feasibility study and provides its own independent opinion on the various details contained therein. Independent market analysis, including pricing forecasts, supply demand forecasts, and whatnot. Equipment procurement and contracting packaging, and an independent financial modeling review to ensure the modeling details and stated returns that we have completed are in fact supported. These efforts and costs on a go-forward basis will be shared with project partners. We're also continuing to work with the Vanguard One offtaker to advance the financing package for that project. As mentioned previously, attaching ownership of the Vanguard One project with the offtaker is a key item from the senior banking group. However, a challenge arises, as we've indicated, when we're dealing with a large agriculture company that does not want to be perceived as entering the mining space. As compounding this issue is the weather impacts we've experienced in late 2018, which was a very wet fall season in the ag regions of the United States. In the first half of 2019 to date, the ag industry has been greatly impacted by weather. Flooding on major waterways, there's large portions of the Mississippi waterway that is still not open and is not expected to open until sometime in July, which is record level impacts to that waterway, which is so central to the U.S. ag system. That, coupled with trade relation issues, specifically the trade disputes with China, represents significant impacts. These combined impacts result in additional business risk for these ag companies, even in their current lines of business. And at this point in time, adding an additional perceived risk of entering a new business, i.e. potash mining, is very difficult. Nonetheless, we continue to work and try to find the right solutions to that issue with Vanguard One. So that really represents the current situation, the efforts underway right now, the next steps that we're, some of which we're working on right now and will continue to work on for the next several months. There's a lot of work to do on the financing structure, but it is advancing very nicely. And as we indicated already, we do expect to be in a position to begin to name the actual parties. And we see that as an important step in transparency and in GenSource's business, but the beginnings of injecting further transparency into the potash supply industry as well. The next item on our agenda is a discussion on financing, finance and financing, and I'll ask Rob to jump in and lead that discussion. Rob?
Thanks, Mike. Thanks very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining the call here on a nice Wednesday afternoon. I just want to talk first about the project financing, which is a wildly complex and interesting animal in and of itself. So regardless of whether we're speaking of the Vanguard project or Maverick, the as we all know, the total capital cost for the project is about $234 million. The cost has increased slightly from our original feasibility study, and that was due to both off-takers requiring preference on having site storage available for about 20,000 metric tons. So capital cost has increased slightly. In working with the senior lending group, we seek to secure debt for approximately 68% of the capital cost, with the remaining 32% being made up by the equity component With that, given the potash marketing work we've done in conjunction with the off-taker, so lining up directly with the off-taker and understanding logistics, understanding key price points within the supply chain as it relates to directly at the farm gate, the current and future prices of potash appear to be remaining very stable, and they're expected to remain quite stable going forwards. So part of the financial modeling exercise that we experience, or we're required to assume a realistic yet very conservative potash pricing assumptions, and that's really quite key. And as Mike has mentioned in the past, the transparency on price, there's all kinds of prices that people have referenced, there's not a whole lot of knowledge, detailed knowledge as to where and how and who pays what and what part of whether it's in North America or Brazil or China or in India. And what we have done is done an extensive amount of work. We know where price points are. We can build up that price point, and we can clearly demonstrate to financial institutions clearly what can be expected from a historical perspective, but also what we expect to see on a go-forward basis. So with the realistic assumptions on potash price and under a base case scenario, combined with the above-mentioned capital structure, we're expecting to generate an equity IRR on the project of north of 22%. And that is very, very healthy, exceedingly healthy as it relates to potash projects. Because of the nature of the light capital intensity of whether it's Maverick or Vanguard, the ability to generate very attractive equity returns is quite high. a key function, again, as Mike has mentioned in the past, is ensuring that we have a rational level of economic and senior debt. That, as a junior resource company, is a challenge to attain. But having the right partners with the right, skin in the game, if you will, as Mike has mentioned, and the right balance of risk assumption, we are getting to a very excellent capital structure and comfort with the banks. Very importantly, under our base case scenario, we achieve and maintain a very healthy debt service coverage ratio, which again is a bit like your mortgage. You know, the banks want to see your income able to cover your debt service charges and your amortization of your debt. So it's quite important to have those key items with a buffer built in and the ability to sustain perhaps some shocks to the price scenario should we see a potash price drop in the future. The debt group is likely to take shape into three or perhaps four lenders, and this is a typical number of participants for a project of our size. And all the institutions are quite comfortable with the sizing of their participation. The key ingredients, of course, are ensuring that the execution is appropriate. And the revenue side, the revenue model, back to the project are healthy to maintain debt service coverage. A key aspect of all current project financings, whether they're local or whether they're international, for senior lenders is environmental impact and corporate social responsibility, or what everybody refers to as CSR. I think the marketplace underestimates the importance of those two key items. As a matter of fact, most international institutions, the first thing they look at is environmental impact and CSR prior to even looking at the financial returns of a project. We're all aware that Gensource's project is very environmentally gentle, has very light footprint from an environmental perspective. And as well, the international lenders are pretty sensitive to any mining projects historically. Looking at mining projects and the associated tailings risk and remediation risks are very much a challenge. And so going through the process with the senior bankers or senior debt, laying out the project that we have on a very detailed basis and a step-by-step basis, we're demonstrating a very clean footprint, but also critically is the project fits within the community very, very well. It's a right size for the community. Again, international capital is ensuring that the facility or a project fits within the community. And the community is not just the people locally, but also at the local government level as well. And I'm pleased to say that we're fitting and ticking those boxes off really quite well as we work to engage both the public and the government officials in our community. On a final note for project finance, and as Mike has mentioned, the key aspect of the lending requirement is ensuring that we're compliant under all regulations related to export trade credit for OECD countries. As we're domiciled here in Saskatchewan, Canada, so we're considered a high-income country project. And this simply requires us to ensure that we don't have any special advantages relating to project financing or as it relates to exporting potash outside of Canada. And I have to say that we're firmly and comfortably compliant in that regard. Second piece I would like to address is GenSource's company finances to support the due diligence processes that we've been undergoing to date and will be going to the forwards in the future. There's many costs that are undertaken for project financing, and to date, GenSource has funded all costs. However, GenSource is going to be credited or will be credited for all development costs undertaken to date to get the project to shovel ready, and the credit will be applied towards an equity of the proposed joint venture company under Maverick. In terms of GenSource's ownership of the JV, between the costs incurred to date and for any future development costs and cash contributed by GenSource as we close out the joint venture financing, GenSource is expected to become the largest shareholder within the JV. So we would be the industry leader as it relates to the joint venture agreement and with regards to our partners. We've had some questions with regards to flow through financing in 2019. We do not expect, and I'm sure we will not seek flow through financing. We have sufficient flow through capital available to us, so we're not in need there. As relates to future financings, we'll be looking to do an equity raise once we have the joint venture solidified, structured, and we have a clear not only mandate but a clear closing on the debt side of the equation, and that'll help us to round out our total joint venture holdings within the group. And as I had mentioned before, that's expected to be the majority of the JV, or will be the largest owner within the JV. I can't say what a number is right now, but suffice it to say that it will be well within the reach of GenSource and very accretive to shareholders. Touching on the IFA conference that Mike was mentioning, we did have some meetings with, several meetings that were very, very encouraging. We had a lot of unsolicited interest and requests to meet up, to understand what GenSource is doing in a detailed manner. Which was very, very encouraging and quite, I don't want to say surprising, but certainly very well, much welcomed. The thing that quite honestly surprised me the most was the secrecy within which all meetings were held. I felt like Maxwell Smart, for a while, the cone of silence coming down on top of my head every now and again, but I don't want to be facetious, but it was quite eye-opening, and it was a great learning experience for both Mike and I. Within that conference, CRU, which is a very large research and prominent research company out of the United Kingdom, out of the UK, presented a very interesting presentation on the fertilizer industry. So they talked about the total macronutrient complex, so N, P, and K. And there are some very constructive and interesting outlooks on potash specifically, and how what the environmental impact is going to be with regards to nutrients or fertilizers into the future. And it's quite interesting to see that potash is under applied on an international basis, on a worldwide basis. In other words, not as much of it is used as need be from a soil perspective. But also, potash and phosphorus, P, phosphate, is the least environmentally degrading. So in other words, it doesn't leach into the soil system or the water systems, water tributaries or lakes or rivers. And as a result, there's a renewed focus and interest in what nutrients are doing environmentally and what that means for all companies moving forwards within the fertilizer space. And so if anybody's interested in that that presentation, I'd be happy to email it out to anybody. So please either email myself, Mike or Deb directly, or go to our website information request, and I'd be happy to share and forward out the presentation from CRU to yourselves for further information. Sadly, we cannot post it on our website. That's against regulation from our regulators. So, but I can certainly forward it to you upon request. With that, that comes to the end of from my perspective. Mike, I'll hand it back to yourself, and perhaps we can go from there.
Thank you, Rob. That was a good discussion. From all the final item we have left in the agenda here is simply questions. And rather than trying to read out specific questions and answer them, we've attempted to answer the questions in the body of the discussion. So between the various sections on current work, future work, and financing, we hope we've dealt with we believe we've dealt with all the questions that we have received, so we won't spend time going into Q&A back and forth. I'd like to remind everybody of our annual general and special meeting, Friday the 21st, 9 a.m. in Saskatoon. The final item, as we leave the call, will be just a reminder of coming items. The work that's ongoing now will result in us being able to advise our shareholders of who our partners are. We'll be able to advise our shareholders of who the senior lending group is, and we'll certainly keep everyone apprised of the status of the joint venture formation and the shareholder agreement together with the offtake agreement. Those are the major items at play in the next couple of months. The senior lending officer due diligence efforts are, of course, continuous through that time frame as well. I'm not sure there's any newsworthy items in that process, but we'll certainly keep shareholders apprised of key items as we are able to in the coming months. So with that, we'll end the call for today. We thank you for taking the time to join us, and we look forward to the next update. Thank you again.